We're going to be looking at the four original carols of Christmas. People who just burst out in praise. And the first one we're going to be looking at is Mary's Song. I think tonight we've got David, the great Benedictus. That's not being personal, that's what he's going to be speaking on. He's going to be speaking on Zechariah. And then we've got Simeon and the Angel's Song too. So these are the four original carols of Christmas. But we love to sing. Can you just raise your hand if you really love to sing? I mean, you've been singing absolutely superb this morning. Maggie's just dug right into Donald and said, get your hand up. Loves to sing. Loving to sing in the shower. Even though you love to sing, can you just raise your hand if you don't like the person next to you singing? If that makes any sense. I often get told off for being jolly and for singing in the shower. Let me just put my glasses on so I can see. What I'm going to do is, who likes watching Michael McIntyre? You know, the Saturday night thing. You know, when he gets somebody's phone and he begins to kind of type a message and he sends it all out. I find it hysterical, really do. I'm not going to do that, but this is Ruth's phone, and I'm just going to make sure that this is on. Fantastic, that's really good. Me and Leah have been trying to ban Ruth's ringtone, and Ruth loves to sing. She'll tell you that she can't sing. When we were in the Middle East, we had a Filipino group within the church. And the Filipinos love to sing. You ever see a Filipino with a guitar case? You know that he's going to a Bible study. You know he's going somewhere to sing. So like in Saudi Arabia, if the police are wanting to know where there's going to be a secret Bible study, all they do is follow a Filipino with a guitar case because they know that they're going to go straight to a meeting, and they love to sing. And I were invited to do a wedding, a Filipino wedding. I've never been to like it in my life. We had such a lot of fun. In their ceremony, they have a bell that comes from the ceiling, and it's all covered up, and inside are two doves. And so the bride and the groom, we kind of married them, and they have to pull a piece of string, and these two doves fly out. And then the bride and groom have to catch them. It is so funny. There's feathers everywhere. And we didn't know, but everybody loves to sing. So whoever's at a wedding, a Filipino wedding, sings. So, and we didn't know that. And they kind of caught us at a really awkward moment. They said, Pastor, we want you to sing. I'm thinking, oh my word, what do we sing? Anyway, Fergus, could you just ring Ruth, if you would? This is what we taught them. Listen to this. Does anybody know that? Do you know, anybody know what it is? On Ilclymore by Tat. Thank you. So we taught the whole Filipino group how to sing on Ilclymore by Tat. Can you believe that? Oh my word. Very, very funny. I was thinking about singing. You and I maybe, who likes love songs? Who listens to, oh man, Susie was straight up there, and nobody else is going to admit that at all, love songs. But some songs really move us sometimes to tears. Sometimes songs that are absolutely full of meaning, a bit like the last carol that we just sung. You could really get involved in that because the words in it are really, really special. And David, in the Psalms, you'll find that he wrote, and it actually comes from his gut, real deep feeling. I want to just read Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to be looking at Mary's song. So if you've got a Bible, I'd like us to turn to this, if we could. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is a beautiful chapter, and we're going to be looking at this this morning. This song is full of depth. It's full of insight. It's a song that comes straight from a heart right to God. And I'm going to start reading at verse 46. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Wow. Well, maybe I've read that every Christmas time. But this song is from a 14, 15-year-old girl, and she just is spontaneous with her praise to God. And now this kind of song is sung throughout the world. I know even in some churches in different parts of the world, they will sing this every Sabbath, every meeting, every chance that they get, they will sing this song. She's 14, 15 years of old, and it's covered with quotes and scripture from the Old Testament. So this young lady from a very humble, poor background really knows God and really knows the Bible. She really knows God's word. All these things that come up are due to the teaching that she's had, and she's 15 years of age. Luke, the book of Luke is a book of detail. Luke is a doctor, he's a physician. He goes right into the depth of things. But what is he saying? What is he trying to communicate? What on earth is this Dr. Luke saying? This chapter one, we're looking at Elizabeth, we're looking at Mary. And as I've been looking at this chapter, this is what it's saying. Jesus has come to take over our life. I want you to just think about what he's saying to Mary. What is he saying to Elizabeth? Because pregnancy changes everything. I don't think she were really aware of what were going to happen. I mean, for her to work through this process, to realize that she were actually pregnant. Two women, you're looking at Mary the younger one, you're looking at Elizabeth the older one. Two women's lives turned on its head. I don't think they could ever even contemplate or even think that this were going to happen. And so the whole message this morning is that when Jesus comes, he changes absolutely everything. He changes plans. He changes our agenda. He changes everything. He's not just come to make little tweaks and little changes and differences in life. He's come to change the whole life. And so when you think about Mary, she's a young girl. She never thought she'd be pregnant, especially when there's no bloke in her life at that time as such. Her and Joseph weren't married. But this is him changing plans, changing in lives, and Mary had to come to terms with her just being pregnant. And thinking about what Mary was thinking at that time is, you know, she'd know about what the prophets were talking about, the Messiah. And here she is, actually going to have this Messiah, this Jesus growing within her. Wow. For her to be able to come to terms with all this, that this Messiah would be in her. And so she gets excited and she rushes off. It's a long rush because it's a 100-mile journey. As she rushes off to see her cousin Elizabeth. And it's the equivalent of traveling from Perth to Inverness. That's a long, long journey. It's about 111 mile. So there's no cars, there's no aeroplanes. So she rushes off and she makes this journey. She's desperate to talk to her cousin Elizabeth. It says that Mary went quickly. two women. Plans, all kind of, whatever plans they'd have, whatever plans that they made, it's all gone to pot. Because now they're both pregnant. They never thought they could get pregnant. Mary's maybe 14, 15 years old. She's never been with a man, so how on earth can she get pregnant? You've got Elizabeth, she's old. How am I ever going to get pregnant? You see, when God comes, he changes things. He changes everything. And especially our plans and our agenda. There's Elizabeth thinking that she were actually too old. I did a little bit of digging about Elizabeth because her life plans had changed. Maybe she were actually thinking at that time that she's kind of knocking on now. She's maybe looking forward to retiring. Or maybe she's got her own plans or other things that she would do. But she's realizing now that this John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner of Jesus. So her whole plans have changed as she's getting older. Mary's plans have changed as a young one. Mary didn't expect to be a mother at her age. How's she going to tell Joseph? What's his response going to be? How is she going to explain this bump all of a sudden? Maybe that's why she actually went off for 3 months. And when she came back and maybe this bump is just beginning to appear, that it won't look like it would Joseph. Maybe she did that just to protect him. But things change when Jesus arrives. Jesus in us. I was thinking about my own journey. Maybe you can think about your own journey. Even before you became a Christian, maybe some of the things that you had planned to do, and all of a sudden Jesus comes and he kind of changes everything. We couldn't even write maybe our last 15, 20 years. We could never do that because when he comes, he brings in his plan and he brings in his agenda and he guides us in life and adventure with God. You never know where you're going to be. You never know what you're going to be doing. And sometimes the struggle is with us and him, and we kind of struggle because we'd like to do this and we'd like to do that, and I've planned for this and I've planned for that. But when Jesus comes, he brings in a totally new viewpoint. And he begins to teach and he begins to guide. And his ways are always perfect, aren't they? Sometimes we feel a little bit unable, or I can't do what you're asking me to do. But his ways are absolutely perfect every time. So it's a real adventure. Listen to what he says. Come and follow me. Come and obey me, even when it hurts. I know what's best for you. I know, listening to one guy not too long ago, and he was talking to his church, and he said, Sunday morning isn't just a hobby. It's that when he becomes our very life. Every day, listening to him, walking with him, he said he came to disturb us, to move us, to change our plans, not to give us a quiet life. He's taking us on an incredible adventure. And I find that here as I look in chapter 1, things that they would never even thought about. And all of a sudden Jesus comes and he begins to lead and guide us in different ways. Elizabeth, what does she do? She begins to prophesy over Mary. Mary, you are so, so blessed. Now, Elizabeth, what an important woman. She was married to this priest. So now here we've got the older one giving honor to the younger one. And then Elizabeth blesses her again. What is she saying to her? This is what she's saying to Mary. This is who you are, Mary. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. And so she prophesies into her life. Mary, you are blessed beyond measure. And if you remember when Mary approaches and she's going into Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, this John, it said he leapt for joy. And I think that's a real picture of us, that when we're near Jesus, when he's around, we kind of, there's an excitement, there's a kind of a leaping within us when we're really walking with God. And he comes into our lives and he begins to change things. And we get to a place where we just say, Lord, whatever, what are your plans? I'm going to lay all my plans aside I'm going to put them to one side, and I want to do what you're doing. I want to go where you're going. I want to say what you're saying. This is really exciting. And this is Mary. What an incredible position to be in. And before this, Mary, she's just an ordinary woman, just a young lady. And yet, with this Jesus inside her, it changes her status. It changes everything. Even now, she's known all over the world. She's known everywhere. Not because of her, but because of Jesus within her. It's an incredible picture when we think about this. The joy that she has, and she rejoices in God, her Saviour. Mary, you are doubly blessed. And this has been a bit of a theme within our leaders' meetings about being blessed and blessing other people. Because that's what we're about, encouraging one another and blessing one another. I think it's in Ephesians where it talks about that in Christ, in who we are, in him we've got every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything. You and I, who know God, we are joint heirs with him. Everything that he is, he shares with you and I. We are so rich and we are so blessed. And I think this is Mary in this Magnificat, this song. She knows that within her, she is so incredibly blessed. And I'm thinking about us this morning, that fathers, mothers, grandparents, grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunties, sisters, all these things. But before any of those, you and I are a child of God. That's what's on the top. You and I belong to him. You and I are so incredibly blessed. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. And I'm kind of thinking as I'm looking at this and looking at Elizabeth and looking how they've got together, looking at Elizabeth prophesying and speaking into Mary saying, don't matter what anybody else says about you, never forget that you are blessed. Don't matter what other people say, it all matters what God actually says. And I'm looking at the joy of Mary, actually giving birth, not to a kind of a new baby, because this baby existed well before he were born. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And then it says these words, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So God, this eternal God, becomes a baby, kind of contracted right down into a little baby like my little granddaughter Isla. And that's how vulnerable God became, to come to be one of us, to come to identify with us. Then I got to thinking about mums and grandmas. What you actually go through in raising up a child. It's a little bit different for us blokes. But I'm looking at the mother and the worry and the pain that Mary had to go through. Now, God sustained her in all this. But the worry of raising a child. Now you might have raised little monsters. You might even call your kid little monsters, a little tyke, always up to mischief. But Jesus would have been the perfect child. But the pressure that she faced, and I want to just bring some of these to light. When Jesus is 8 days old, her and Joseph took him to the temple. And they met there a guy called Simeon, a lovely, godly guy. And he knew that he needed to see this Messiah before he died. He just got to an age where I just want to see this Messiah. And God had spoke to him and said, you will see the Messiah before you die. And this is what he said. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So Simeon blesses this child, Jesus. And then he turned to Mary and he said these words, a sword will pierce your soul. There's a verse that captures quite a lot about Mary, that Mary pondered things. And I think she had a lot to ponder. Maybe all the anxious thoughts that weighed upon her, as they often do upon mums bringing up a child or bringing up children. 12 years later, they lost Jesus as they went to the temple. 12 years old. They went searching for him. They didn't know where he was. And at 12 years old, you'd expect a 12-year-old boy to be playing with his mates. But where were Jesus? Jesus were in the temple, answering questions, asking questions. And this is what Mary had said to Jesus. When they found him, they said, "Your father and I have been worried sick, searching all over for you." Now, he didn't say searching sick. I've just paraphrased that into our language. But she were anxious. It would be the worst nightmare, I think, for any parent to actually lose a child. So these are some of the things that she went through. Nazareth in Mark chapter 3, and you'll find these in verses 20 and 22. Here's Jesus. He just kind of got hold of this scripture in Isaiah, and he read it, and then he said, "This prophecy has now been fulfilled." If you remember right back then, Jesus now is a grown man. The folks at that time were furious, and they took him up to a high mountain, a cliff, and they threatened to throw him off because of the things that he'd said. What a reception to get from your hometown. And yet this is where Mary, this were her home. What did they say to her after Jesus had gone? So she went through such a lot. And then they were in the house. Jesus were in this place. He were teaching. There were lots of people coming in. And you'll find, I think it's in Mark 3 verse 20, Mary came to the house because she'd heard that her son was tired and had not been eating properly. Jesus were way, way busy. And so she came to the house. And this is what the people said. "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Listen to his answer. Who is my mother and my brothers? "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my sister and my mother and my brother." What did Mary think about that when she heard Jesus say that? And as Jesus begins to reveal his identity and who he was and why he came, this unique relationship with Jesus, her son, would now come to an end as she knew it. Because there's going to be a new family, nothing to do with flesh and blood family. It's not going to be around Mary, but by the Spirit of God, it's going to be around Jesus. Remember the wedding of Canaan, the first miracle? This is what she turned around and said to the people, "Whatever he tells you to do, just do it." There begins to be a recognition of who he is. And then when you think about his life and all that he went through and all that he did and all that she heard about her son. And then we come to the cross. There's a few people around the cross. Many of the disciples have run. And so we've got John, we've got Mary, and a few more women. And I think here is when the reality of Simeon's words really hit home. To watch her son die like that, that this sword then pierces her own soul. Listen to the words that Jesus cries out on the cross. "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Listen to this other one. This is great. This is what Jesus said to a thief on the cross, a murderer. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But the words before that, I want you to picture this. You've got two thieves, two robbers hanging on either side of Jesus. Jesus is in the middle. And he hasn't got long to go. But Jesus knew why he was there. And this guy cries out and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He called him Lord. The whole recognition of this guy upon Jesus in the middle. So this man who's dying, he puts his faith and his trust in a king who's dying. Wow. This guy got it, this guy didn't. But Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And then Jesus comes out with these words. As he looks at his mum, and he said, "Dear woman, here is your son." She stood with John. And then he said to John, here is your mother. And I've been looking at this as I've been studying Luke 1. Why? Is it because he cared for his mum? Well, of course he did. Could John ever replace Jesus? I don't think so. The whole thing about this passage here is the changes that Jesus brings, and now begins a change in relationship regarding Jesus and his mother. And we're just going to come on to that really, really shortly. There's a massive change here. Jesus was known as a son of Mary, but he was also known as the Son of Man and the Son of God, because nobody could do what he was doing. But why say that? Why say, this is your son? So this relationship now with Jesus and Mary is changing. I'm just thinking of the best way I can actually put this. Listen to Luke chapter 1 again, verse 47. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. A lot of people have put Jesus in, put Mary in a different light. She's actually called the Queen of Heaven in some religions. But she says she's rejoiced in God, her Saviour. And Jesus, while he's on the cross, he lays down his life for the world, and that's including his mum. She loses a son, but she gets a Saviour. She loses the love of a son, but now she gets the love of God. She gave him life in the flesh just for a while, and he gave her life in the spirit for eternity. And when you think about this relationship now that changes, Mary's relationship with her son, she now knows him as Saviour. In the Bible, there's a book called James, and this is Jesus' half-brother. And this is how he introduces himself. James, the servant of the Lord. Now, if I were the half-brother of Jesus and I'm writing a book, wow, I would really use that as a bit of clout. Hi, I'm Pete. I'm the half-brother of Jesus. I'd have used it as a bit of cred. And yet when you look at James and it says, James, a servant of the Lord, there's a real recognition now of who he is. And then when you think of Mary in a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2, just picture this, we're talking about Mary, this relationship now that changes, and it changes into her coming to, in a prayer meeting with all these other people, I don't think she'll have addressed her son as son. I think she'll have addressed him as her Lord and addressed him as a Saviour. So to fast forward 2,000 years up to now, what would Mary say to us? I've just scribbled this down. The life he gave me is far greater than the life I gave him. At one time, my life was in him, but by his spirit, his life is now in me. I was so privileged to have this special relationship between mother and son, but through the cross, it is totally different. Wow. And us, like Mary, we are favoured, we are chosen, we are blessed. So the challenge of Luke chapter 1, when you go home after you've had your fill and your Sunday lunch, just read Luke chapter 1. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. But here are some of the challenges. Luke chapter 1, when Jesus comes, he changes everything. He changes everything. And he changes everything in our life for the good. He changes our views, and he helps us to rethink things. Here's a little teenage girl, poor background, came from a little village. Wow, and then Jesus came and took Mary on an incredible journey. You know, God, he knows what's going off in our nation. He knows what's going to happen with this Brexit. He knows about all the power struggles and the big hitters and the finance and the people and the big moves and the success culture. He sees all that. He knows all that. He knows tomorrow. But what do I get from Luke chapter 1 is this. Mary's song is saying, if you want to know God, then humble yourself. You'll find that in verses 51. The rich he sent away empty. So meeting Jesus, changing things, and he changes life. I think the question this morning is, will you and I let him?